Well, hello and welcome to this audio workshop, Your Personal Investment Philosophy, How to Identify Your Inner Real Estate Investor. I'm Robert Helms, host of the Real Estate Guys radio program, and I'm so glad you've taken time to go through this workshop today. It won't take us a lot of time, but it's critically important, and here's why. Many people we run into that have invested in real estate and had a problem simply didn't match their personal investment philosophy to the property or the market that they selected, meaning that there was a mismatch between who they were as a real estate investor and the kind of property they bought. There's all kinds of different ways to invest in real estate. You can invest in single-family homes, apartment buildings, retail, commercial, agriculture, resort, assisted living, mobile home parks, land banking, marinas. There are so many different product types, and within that, there's hands-off and hands-on investing. And everybody is not the same, which is exactly what today's workshop is about, figuring out who you are as a real estate investor, your unique skills and attributes and desires and resources and all the things that make you unique when it comes to investing in real estate. Now, a lot of real estate gurus out there and authors and speakers want you to think there's a one-size-fits-all formula, the 11-point program or the 21 things you need to do. In reality, there are so many different ways to invest that there is no right or wrong. There's only what's right or wrong for you. So our mission today is to help you figure out who you are as a real estate investor. And the big idea here is that everybody is different. Everyone's reason for wanting to invest in real estate is different. Some people are looking for a part-time investment vehicle that can supplement their income and their net worth over time. Other people want to be full-time in real estate. They want to raise money to do deals. They want to develop property. They want to be full-time in the real estate investing business. And you know what? It's all good. But the way to ensure success is to know who you are. So along with this audio workshop is a single PDF page, and hopefully you've printed that out by now or have it in front of you on your computer. It's called My Personal Investment Philosophy. And the first blank you're going to fill in is the date today. As of today, my personal real estate investment philosophy is visually represented as follows. And then what you see is a series of continuums. I don't like to think in terms of absolutes. I like continuums because there is somewhere on a continuum between, say, income and growth of equity where you belong. And as we talk through this today, you're going to make some marks on this worksheet. It's important that you don't just listen and shake your head and go, well, that sounds right. You have to do something. And this is a really great and easy exercise to do. Over the years, we've helped people do this exercise to get clarity on who they are as a real estate investor quite frequently. In our early mentoring clubs, we literally did this every month or two. Even now, we encourage our students to go through this exercise at least once a year. Because here's a hint. As you become more successful as a real estate investor, there's an excellent chance that your personal investment philosophy will change. So what is a personal investment philosophy, and how do you know you have one? Well, I learned this idea from a great mentor of mine who shared with me that just because you want to invest in real estate doesn't mean you're going to do it the same way that your friend or your uncle or your neighbor does. You need to decide what's in it for you and what resources you have. And so the idea of a personal investment philosophy is that everybody's different. What you have to work with is different. Your experience resume is different. Your contacts and the people you know are different. The markets you have access to are different. You may be a successful real estate investor already and you're just looking for some distinctions and nuances. Or perhaps you've never invested in real estate. Either way, if you go through this exercise, I think you'll find some of the clarity that you'll need so you can make better decisions moving forward. So on the sheet, you see these various continuums, primary objective, risk tolerance, types of property, etc. We're going to go through each one, and as we do, I'm going to urge you to place a mark somewhere along the continuum. Now, I want you to resist the temptation to simply put it in the middle. Yeah, I think I like income and growth of equity. That sounds good. I'll put it in the middle. Don't do that. Instead, think through as I talk you through each of these continuums, and for your own situation, your own personal situation, decide where the little tick mark belongs. Is it more to the left? Is it more to the right? Is it all the way over? Or is it somewhat in the middle? And it's important that you do this thinking about you. Even if you're in a partnership or a marriage, a great exercise is to have your partner or your spouse go through this on their own and compare notes. Because very often we find that partners are not necessarily 100% aligned. And that's okay. You just got to know that going in. Now, before we get started, one more reason why this is critically important. What a personal investment philosophy will do for you is save you a ton of time and help you recognize when a deal that comes across your desk is for you or not for you. Let me explain. If you don't go through the process of figuring out who you are as a real estate investor, then any deal that comes by might be interesting. And some fast-talking salesperson might be able to convince you how great their deal is because you don't have anything to bounce it off of. You don't have a sounding board. You don't have a template of what a good deal looks like. If you'll spend a little time getting clear on exactly what you're looking for, then when you see a deal, you'll know right away if it makes sense for you. Today, I get a ton of deals across my desk, more than I could possibly do. But because of this tool, it takes me an average of 2 to 3 minutes to decide if I'm even a candidate. Absent this information, I might spend hours or days analyzing the market, researching the comps, going to visit the property, interviewing the broker, all to discover, well, maybe this isn't for me. But by having clarity up front, today I know instantly whether or not I'm a candidate. And that saves me my most valuable resource, which is my time. All right, so if you're ready to go, let's start at the top. Number one, your primary objective. Now, this will take a little time to talk through, but it's, are you an income investor or an equity investor? Again, keeping in mind, there isn't a right or wrong. You can become amazingly successful focused on one or the other. So what is an income investor? That's someone who is solely focused on the monthly positive cash flow coming in. The underlying value of the real estate doesn't matter. Whether there's a value add opportunity doesn't matter. Where the market's headed doesn't matter. You're focused on cash flow. I need income. That's what I'm after. Now, for most people, this isn't early in their real estate investing careers that they need income. Normally, we have this period of time that we're building up our asset base until we get to the point, we call it critical mass, where we have enough real estate and other assets that we can now shift things around and create income for life. That's a larger topic for another day, but for now, based on today's date, which is what you started with on this sheet, is income your main objective? Or is it growth of equity? An equity investor is someone that's a collector of real estate. They want to own more and more real estate over time that goes up in value. They want to pick in markets that are poised for appreciation. They want to be on the right end of the cycle when they can. They look at the demand curve in a certain product type and they want to make sure that they're ahead of it. And as they add assets to their portfolio, their net worth increases, independent of cash flow. If you're an equity investor, cash flow is secondary. Income is less important than owning more real estate that continues to go up in value, either through market equity, because you picked a great market or because the market's going up, or what we call forced equity, the work that you do to increase the value of a property. There's lots of ways to do that. Now, obviously, in real estate, you can't have both. You can have income property that creates positive cash flow that also happens to be in a great market poised for appreciation. But again, I want you to focus on what is your primary objective. If you're more about the income and the equity increase is a bonus, then make your mark a little more to the left towards the income side. If on the other hand, you're a collector of real estate that wants to own more and more of it and have it go up over time, and the income's nice to make sure you have the debt service covered, but you don't really need the money, then you're going to be more on the right-hand side of the continuum. Now let's talk about that last point for a minute. Many real estate investors think they need the positive cash flow, but in reality, they don't. They already have income coming in from a job, from a business, from other investments. And their reason to get into real estate isn't for the monthly cash flow today, it's for the long-term cash flow and equity growth over time. On the other hand, there are a lot of folks who get to the point in life where they really would like to turn a pile of cash, the capital that they've acquired over time, into cash flow producing assets, like real estate. So you need to decide that for you, right now in this moment, not 5 years from now, not 10 years from now, but today, are you more of an income investor or are you more of an equity investor? Go ahead and make your mark. All right, the next continuum is about risk tolerance. On the left side, we have conservative. That's someone who doesn't like to take a lot of chances. You don't like to have too much leverage. You're likely not to be the first person to go into a new marketplace, and that's fine. On the right hand of the continuum, we have aggressive. Some folks are just aggressive by their nature. Some folks are aggressive because they have to be. They're behind. They have to try to catch up. That can work well, but it also cannot. So you got to be careful. Now, again, it's not right or wrong, but you have to get in touch with your inner investor. Are you more of a conservative investor? Or are you more aggressive? And just be realistic about it. Either is okay. What we're trying to do is match the types of opportunities available to who you are internally. Because if you're a conservative investor and you're looking at super aggressive deals, there isn't going to be harmony. You're not going to be able to create the kind of investment that feeds you as a person and as an investor. That's why it's critical that you get this matched up correctly. So be honest. Are you conservative by nature? Are you aggressive? Somewhere in the middle, leaning one way or the other? Make a mark on the continuum. Our next continuum is types of property. Now, this is hard to really put in a continuum, but follow me on this. On the left-hand side, single-family homes, condominiums, townhouses, what many people start off investing in. On the right-hand side, larger commercial enterprises, industrial space, bowling alleys, whatever it signifies for you. And right now, in your personal investment philosophy, maybe you've been investing for a while. You have a bunch of little greenhouses, and it's time to trade up into a red hotel. Or maybe you're just getting started and you feel more comfortable with the kind of property you've spent most of your life living in. No right or wrong answer, but think about where you are today. If you're just starting out and you think single-family houses are a great place to start, and for many people they are, then you're going to mark on the continuum towards the left-hand side. If you're already looking at commercial or development or any of that, you're going to be more to the right-hand side. No right or wrong, but make a mark. The next continuum we call duration of investment. How long do you expect to hold your real estate? On average, you know, sometimes you buy a property, makes sense to turn around and sell it right away for a profit. Other times, you want to buy and hold. Are you typically a buy and hold investor? Someone that just wants to hang on to real estate and let the cash flow increase as you pay down the mortgage? Or are you looking for opportunities to buy property, add value, and sell at a profit? Now, I will say this. Most people that flip properties, they buy a property, they figure out how to rehab it or increase its value and sell it. Although they can make a lot of money, in our book, that's not really real estate investing. It's more like a job. If your job is flipping houses, that's just what it is. What an investment is putting money to work that demands a return over time. Chapter 1 in the book Rich Dad, Poor Dad says the rich don't work for money. They have their money work for them. But there's no wrong or right way to do real estate except what's wrong or right for you. So where you are right now, are you a short-term real estate investor? You know, 6 months, 2 years? Or are you a buy and hold and keep it forever and leave it to your grandkids? Just put a mark wherever that visually is represented for you. Now, the next one is property profile. This is the type of property, not by product type, but by neighborhood and ease of management. On the left side, we have the lower end properties, what we might call Class C properties. Difficult neighborhoods, tough tenant profiles. All the way to the left is where you have to collect the rent with a gun. Now, don't get me wrong, you can make a lot of money at the low end, and I have. This is an area I played in a lot. Tougher, inner city, C-class neighborhoods. But on the other side, the right side of the property profile continuum, we have pride of ownership properties. These are beautiful properties in wonderful neighborhoods where you're proud as can be to pull up in front of the property and go, wow, look at that. Isn't she beautiful? That's all mine. Now, what's the difference? Obviously, cash flows are better at the lower end, but management is a lot more intense. At the higher end, the pride of ownership properties often don't perform as well from a cash flow basis. They might appreciate well over time, so back to continuum number one. If you're a growth of equity investor, it can make sense to focus on pride of ownership areas. But many income investors focus on the lower end because there's a need to provide housing and other uses of real estate like retail to folks who need the space. So when we talk about the profile of the property, what seems right to you? Are you more towards the lower end? Like for me, I really don't want to have to take a gun to collect the rents, but I'll take a knife. I don't mind being in the lower end. I'm used to it. I've been in that space a long time. Now, I will tell you this. I haven't talked at all about my personal investment philosophy because this isn't about me. This is about you. But I will tell you that over time, I have kind of moved up the continuum from the low end to the higher end. Having done a lot of low-end property, at this stage of my investment career, I'm happier to be at a higher end and have somebody else manage it for me. So just make a mark of where you think you are today in terms of property profile. And speaking of managing property, our next continuum is that, your management preference. On one side is, I'm going to do it myself. I'm going to manage my own property. I'm going to collect the rents. I'm going to put the tenant in there. I'm going to be in charge. On the other side is, I'm never going to even set foot on the property. I'm going to have somebody else, a professional management company, handle 100%. And that's why it's a continuum, because there may be, well, you know, I'm going to be somewhat involved, but I'm going to have a manager to help rent out the units. Or I'm actually going to collect the rents because I own homes in the neighborhood that I'm in and I have to go check up on my houses, but I'm going to have a professional management company keep the books. Now, if you're just starting out, managing your own property isn't something I strongly urge you to consider, but I would say managing your property yourself for the first year or two will fully acquaint you with exactly what it takes to manage a property. You'll have it figured out after doing it yourself, and you may decide at that time to hand the keys to somebody else. For me, life is too short to manage property. I'd rather bring a professional in. But the reality is when you hire a property manager, it costs you something. It's going to cost you 2, 5, 10, 12% of the monthly income, depending on the product type. For me, it's worth it. You have to make that decision. So when it comes to management preference, is it you? Is it you and a property manager? Or are you delegating that job? Go ahead and make a mark wherever it makes sense for you on that continuum. And our last continuum we call investment proximity. This is, how close does your rental property need to be to you, to where you live? Your neighborhood, your city, your county, your state, your country? On the left end, hey, I want all the properties nearby so I can go and visit them. On the other end, you know, anywhere in the world is fine. And different people feel differently about this. One of my favorite things to do when I'm speaking in front of a large audience is I have people raise their hand if they think it's risky to invest outside of their home country. And there's always hands that go up. And then my follow-up question is, who thinks it's risky to have all of your investment capital tied to one nation's economy and currency? And a whole different set of hands go up. Both are risks. Which is right for you depends on you. It's a big old world. There's lots of great places to invest. But the minute you step over a boundary line, like a state or a country, now there's a whole bunch of things you have to learn, and you have to have a team that can deliver the results for you. So just decide which is for you. Are you good a state or two away? Would you rather stay in the state you live in or the country you live in? Would you consider a neighboring country? Would you consider a country halfway around the world? And just make a mark. So there you go. Hopefully you have now a bunch of marks on these continuums. And now your mission is to sort of take a look at that and figure out who you are as an investor. Below the continuums on the page, it says, my current personal investment philosophy. And there's a bunch of lines there for you to write it out. Now, what I'd like you to do is to really think about it and articulate a description of who you are as an investor. If you have trouble doing that, you can just use the continuums. Well, I'm primarily an income investor, but I'm fairly aggressive. I generally invest in 5 to 20 unit apartment buildings that I hold for 10 to 15 years in B-class neighborhoods. They're professionally managed and within 3 counties of the county I live in. That's a start by using the continuums of articulating a personal real estate investment philosophy. But ultimately, there's more to it than that. If you really want to spend some time on it, think about who you are as a person and how that fits the real estate investor you're becoming. Maybe you're a social capitalist, somebody that wants to do well by doing good. A lot of folks choose real estate as a way they can help people. As landlords, we provide clean, affordable, safe housing to people that can't afford to buy on their own. And there's ways that you can create wonderful abundance around that. Or maybe it's just for the money for you. Who knows? Hopefully, you'll figure it out and you can articulate it. I'll give you an example. In my personal investment philosophy, one of the things I have is my number one rule is never sell. I'm a long-term buy and hold investor. So right out of the gate on my personal investment philosophy is rule number one, never sell. Think about selling, run the numbers as if you were going to sell, consider selling, but never sell. And that drives my real estate purchase decisions. I always approach a property as if it was going to be in my family forever. And when you do that, there are certain things you just won't buy. And approaching it that way has served me well. Now, it doesn't really mean I never sell a property, but what it does mean is if I do decide to sell a property, I don't sell the property and just spend the money. If I relinquish the asset, I'm going to exchange it for something else. Hopefully something better. That's how I acquire more and more real estate over time. Another part of my personal investment philosophy is I don't like to market into distress, meaning I don't want to be the winner on a real estate transaction because somebody else is the loser. Now again, you can make a lot of money by marketing into distress situations, foreclosures, bankruptcies, divorces. But for me personally, and this is just me, I don't want to spend my life energy around all that negativity. I don't want to make 10 grand knowing there's a family on the street. That's just me. But because that's part of my personal investment philosophy, it dictates the kind of deals that I do. So spend some time thinking about who you are as an investor and use these continuums as tools. And then ultimately, the end of this exercise is my specific strategy for this year. So your strategy is different than your philosophy. Your philosophy is who you are as an investor. Your strategy is what are you going to go do now? Once you've considered who you are as an investor, it may be that your strategy this year isn't to acquire anything. This may not be a year of buying for you. This may be a year to get educated, or a year to get connected, or a year to study markets, or particular product types. Perfectly fine. Write that down as your strategy for this year. Or maybe this is the year you make the jump from single family to multifamily, or from passive investor to active investor. So whatever your specific strategy is for this year, take a few moments and write it down. And there's just a couple of lines there. Take as much space as you need, write on the back, add a piece of paper. This isn't meant to limit you. It's meant to focus you. And once you have that done, a great thing to do is occasionally review it. And rather than start with this piece of paper, I recommend you print a clean sheet and 3 months from now or 6 months from now or from a year from now, go through the audio again and do the exercise. Do that before you look at your previous answers. And then compare them side by side. You may be totally in sync. You may be exactly the same a year from now as you are today. Or, because of the wisdom you've acquired and the experience you've collected, maybe you're a different investor next year and the year after. And it's all good. Hey, thanks for listening today. I hope this was helpful for you. We bring lots of great ideas and real estate information every week on the Real Estate Guys radio program. Find us at realestateguysradio.com. And I'll see you on the radio. Remember to live this life as though it were your last.